Today we celebrate the memorial of Saint Pope Pius V, and he was a pope who reigned in a very hard and tumultuous time in the 1500s. So this is the time of the Protestant Reformation and the Renaissance, both of which were basically trying to cast off the previous 1,000 years of church history and try to find the pure Christianity, trying to go back and undo the development of Christendom, Western civilization, really. And Pius V then was a Dominican who was very, actually, pious. And he, after full day's work, with no breaks, he would rest by just being in prayer for hours before the altar into the night. Or in his cell. And so he knew the need to always get what he needs to do by going to the Lord. You can't give what you don't have. And so he poured himself into serving the Lord and trying to be the best that he could be. Because at that time, there was a lot of corrupt clergy. And in part, that corruption was what kind of helped fuel things like the Protestant Reformation. And so he was noticed, for years of being a Dominican teaching philosophy and theology, he was noticed and became a bishop, and then eventually a cardinal, and then after the Council of Trent, he was made pope. He was elected pope. And so it was up to him then to enact a lot of the decrees of Trent, some of that including the need to establish a seminary system. So the first seminaries were established in the 1500s. Before that, priests were always kind of just trained more like an apprentice. And then he helped reform, especially some of those issues going on with the clergy, things like simony or nepotism, or absenteeism, so bishops and priests being absent from their diocese or parish, there was the serious problems going on. And yet he wasn't daunted by all these problems. He knew that this was the opportunity now to rise to the occasion. So as was the saying, great times, hard times make great men, or pressure makes diamonds. This was not something to be afraid of, but rather the need to turn to the Lord. And not only did he have all these problems going on with the Protestant Reformation that he had to deal with, he had to help reform a lot of things within the church, including the breviary, which was going under a reform, and then the missal. So a lot of missals, there was actually no official promulgation of the Roman Missal up until that point. And so Pius V was the first to officially promulgate the Missal for Mass. And so basically he codified, he didn't create a new rite. He basically just codified the tradition of the Mass up until that point, while also purifying and pruning those things that had crept up in the past couple hundred years, especially those things that weren't good because of the Protestant influence, and even the influence before the official beginning of the Protestant influence. So any missals that were not older than 200 years old were no longer to be used. So if it was older than 200 years, missals like that were used in the Dominican Rite or the Sarum Rite in England or the Mozarabic Rite in Spain or the Ambrosian Rite in Milan, all those different rites were still allowed to be used because of their use and tradition. But this was the first official Roman promulgation of the Missal. And it was the first Missal to codify, in a certain sense, the traditional rubrics. Setting in place the ordinary of the Mass. And it was used mainly, it was the main missal used until the 1960s. So very powerful influence for the church there. And then he also promulgated the Roman Catechism, kind of the first official also catechism of the church, basically providing a manual, a tool for the parish priests to make sure that they're teaching and catechizing their people properly. And he also helped promote the rosary, especially the confraternity of the Holy Rosary. He saw that as a weapon, a tool very much needed for their times, because not only was he dealing with the Protestant Reformation and the reform needed within the Catholic Church, they were also having a severe problem in that Muslim Turkey, the Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire, was invading. And Western civilization was at risk of even its very existence, especially in Italy. And so he had to call a kind of a Holy League alliance of different countries, most of which ignored his call because they were too wrapped up with their own domestic problems. And so he led the prayer and fasting for the people to have the victory needed so that they could basically just exist. And so things seemed very grim, very daunting. And yet he did not despair, but entrusted everything to Our Lady. And so he had a rosary procession during the main battle at Lepanto. And in the middle of the battle, at a certain point, it was said, you know, he had to attend to some business with some cardinals. But in the middle of their meeting, he went to the window and looked out and thanked the Lord and said, brothers, now is not the time to continue this business, no matter how urgent it is. Now is the time to thank God, for he has given us the victory at Lepanto. And sure enough, when they finally got the message a couple weeks later, that the exact timing was determined to be true, that he basically had this mystical knowledge given to him at that time of the victory, the decisive victory needed to save Western civilization. And so he established the Feast of the Rosary on October 7th in honor of Our Lady. And so as a Dominican, he helped promote Our Lady as well. And so he is one of the great popes of our recent times. He was the first pope to be raised to the altars in probably 150 years before him, and was the only pope raised to the altars up until the beatification of Pius X in the 1900s. So all through basically all 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, there was no blesseds until finally some were beatified in the 1950s, just a couple. And so he was kind of the only real holy pope at that time. And it's because of him, actually, the pope wears white. He wanted to continue his simplicity and poverty when he became pope, and continued to wear his Dominican habit. Dominicans wear white. And so afterwards, the popes continued to wear white. So the reason the pope wears kind of a white-looking cassock is because of Pope Pius V. And Pius V, then, is a great model for us in what Jesus teaches us today. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Jesus is the only source of peace. And, you know, as he tells St. Faustina, mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to me. And Pius V shows us that even in the severe troubles that the church was going through at that time, that Europe was going through at the time, the only way we can truly have peace is by trusting in the Lord, and to not fear the hard times and the trials, to not even lament over the hard times and the trials, because they are our very source of sanctification and even salvation. You know, as we heard in our first reading, the disciples exhorted the new Christians to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. It is necessary to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." And so it is not something to try to avoid. Rather, as the saints show us, as Pius V shows us, they are a time in which we can give glory to God that he is still working in the midst of evil. Because these trials, these hardships, they are the very means of us having our faith purified, purified like gold. They are means for our hope to be strengthened in God rather than in ourselves or men. And these hardships are the very means of our charity being enlivened with the fire of God's love, so that even though Satan still has a little power here and there, in the end, Christ is the true victor. And he only allows the evil one to have that power so that Christ's servants may rise to the occasion and give glory to God, to show that in the end, the evil one does not have power over us. That just like the Lord showed his love for the Father and mankind on Calvary, we too, in the midst of evil, can overcome that evil with good by loving like Christ loved. And so we especially ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, she who was at the foot of Christ's cross, to be with us, just like she was with Pius V and the Christians, the Catholic Christians during his time, that she would be with us. And today we have a special statue of Our Lady, a pilgrim statue of Our Lady of Fatima, traveling the world. The group that brought this today was able to get the statue of Our Lady of Fatima at a United Nations Assembly meeting back in 2017, the 100th anniversary for Our Lady of Fatima. And so we trust Our Lady that in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph, and that we do not allow our hearts to be troubled or afraid, because ultimately Christ gives us that peace. As Padre Pio said, pray, hope, and don't worry.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.